Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to read to begin this today, our continuation of what we've been talking about, the resurrection and so forth. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 30. It's one I'm sure you're familiar with, but it's one that says an awful lot about things that we should pay attention to right now. Acts chapter 1, verse 30. Luke wrote this, and it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped and looked at those words, many infallible proofs. That says to me that after Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't just the announcement made. There were many things that happened that proved that he had been crucified, buried, and had risen from the dead and was alive. Many infallible proofs. Now, we don't have a lot of those written out in our Bible. But as I looked at this the last couple of months, I've been surprised to find out how many things Brother Branham said about it. If you knew what Jesus did during that 40 days, wouldn't you like to be interested in the story? Yeah. You know, I know how it is with us brothers who had the privilege maybe to be with Brother Branham for a day or two sometime, and somebody says, "Well, he said what, and then you said what," and they want to know every word, and sometimes want to hear it again. But you think about it, being able to understand and communicate with Jesus after he had died, he'd been in the grave, he arose from the dead, and this scripture says, being seen of them 40 days. It didn't just happen one day. There was 40 days of activity in his life. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't think he had any trivia contest. He never stopped and put any puzzles together or played any games. I think the things that he said to those people and the questions they asked then were very serious spiritual questions. And Luke wrote about them and called them infallible proofs. Amen. Now, I want to say this personally, and I know it'll be misunderstood by some who are critics, but I've often wondered why Brother Branham made the statement to me that he did. And I've reviewed it, and I've never said much about it in the past. I've mentioned it. I've tried to prove it, because some people say, "Well, he never said that to anybody else." Well, that's what makes it so strange to me. Is why did Brother Branham one day, and I remember when it was in Beaumont, Texas, during the meetings that he had from Tulare, California, all the way down to Tampa, Florida, that in Beaumont, Brother Branham preached a sermon, "When Their Eyes Were Opened." Yes. Now, he preached that sermon in Jeffersonville twice. He preached it in Chicago. He preached it in New York. He preached it in Philadelphia from 1956 up to 61. But in 64, when he started the sweep down through the South the last time, in Tulare, California, he preached "When Their Eyes Were Opened." He preached it again in Beaumont, Texas, and he concluded the meetings in Tampa, Florida, with that same message, "When Their Eyes Were Opened." And it was because of the comments that he made about this 40 days in the Beaumont meeting that he and I were having a conversation, and he made this statement to me. He said, "Brother Perry," he said, "one day the dead in Christ will rise, and they will be with us for a minimum of 30 days. Now, how many of you believe that Brother Branham made that statement? Amen. Can I prove it to you? No. Except there's two places on tape that Brother Branham says something like that. Now, I never said anything about it outside of my local church in Beaumont. And after I moved here, one day I was talking to Brother Billy Paul after I had that dream that I dreamed twice in the same night, and I started to tell Billy about it, and I said, no, Billy, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you if I ever dream it again. And I did dream it again when we made the trip down to the youth camp. When I was so tired, I should have slept very sound, but I had that dream, and I came back and I told Billy. And at that time, I told Billy, I said, Billy, your dad told me that the dead in Christ will rise someday and be with us a minimum of 30 days. And Billy said, he told me that too. Well, now, when Brother Billy Paul told me that, I don't mind telling you, it gave me courage that when something like that, I'd say, okay, he told me, so I'll tell it now. Sure. So I began to tell it, and I remember the time that I told the brothers first. It's when the group of them were over at Sunset Mountain, and Brother Billy Paul had the visitation, and he felt like the Lord told him to play 19 tapes, and he came back and started playing not only the 7 tapes that were not released, that he played in Jeffersonville that Easter before that, but he played the other 12 tapes, and we've got a list of those, because he felt like the Lord told him to play those particular tapes. And it was at that meeting at Sunset when he made that announcement that I told the brothers about this 30-day comment that Brother Branham had made to me. Well, at that very time, there were brothers say, well, Brother Branham never said that. Brother Branham never meant it. How do we know he even said that? It's not on tape. Well, we looked, and through the years, we found in 1954 at Green Lake, Wisconsin, Brother Branham does make the statement, the dead in Christ will rise and be with us for about a month or so. Anybody remember that one? Then when we got the films, Brother Branham talks about when the war is over and the arms are stacked and the smoke's cleared away and everything, and the Lord will come and they'll be here with us for about 30 days or so. So he says it on tape twice. But when I started this time about the order of the resurrection, because we talk about the coming of the Lord, we talk about the last days, we talk about the day of judgment or the time of destruction, we talk about the prophecies that are going to take place. And Brother Branham said, we want to know what time it is. Look at Israel. And we see now that America's turning her back on Israel, and we're no longer going to have the protection of the umbrella of whoever blesses Israel be blessed and who curses her be cursed. We're giving that up by the way that we're treating Israel at the time. And Israel will be standing by herself except for what God's going to give her. Amen. Now, if we're living in these last days, and there's so much controversy among us in this message about the rapture, the coming of the Lord, the mysteries. And there's some that's already got him come. He came in March or February of 63. The angels were there, the cloud, that was the coming of the Lord. In the Congo, that's what they believe. They worship the cloud because that's the face of Jesus in that cloud. They don't know that somebody took the Hoffman's head of Christ and overlaid it with the cloud, and that's what they're distributing. And they look at it and say, well, anybody can see that was Jesus. But they don't realize that that's man-made. Some man put that together, and it's been distributed to them, and they don't know any difference. When I tried to tell them, they booed me out of the pulpit. You know, that's hard for you to sit down there, and they don't even realize that the seventh seal was not released, that people wrote books and preached sermons about it for 3 years before it was ever released. They didn't have the advantage of it. Even when the church age book was written, Brother Vail did not have access to the original seventh seal book. And if you've got that, then there's some things in there that Brother Branham said didn't happen that you hear being preached for it to happen. And that's the reason about 5 or 6 years ago, I took this congregation and said, let's go back and just look and see what Brother Branham said about it. Not what somebody else said, but what did Brother Branham say about it? And when Brother Branham said that God showed him the 6 seals, but not the 7th, I have to say that. And I want to know, when did he say the 7th? When was that revealed to him? And because they've got their mind made up, they don't understand, or they're not willing to understand that when Brother Branham says the 7 seals have been revealed, that he's talking about the whole message. But when he speaks of the 7th seal specifically, he said, God did not show it to me. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be controversial about it, but when they come along and tell you that the rapture's taken place, well, there's some that they put you in the millennium. And some of those have died, and they still don't change their mind. Well, we have to make up our mind. Are we going to believe what they say in order to be mainstream and be identified and accepted? Or are we going to say what Brother Branham says? Amen. So when we have looked at the order of the resurrection, we found so many places where Brother Branham makes this statement. We will see each other before we see the Lord.
Amen.
And that goes back to where the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, when Brother Branham preached the rapture, and they talk about the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, they come along and they try to adapt it to where what they have believed and said, and the Lord himself, and they try to make that with Brother Branham. But you see, my understanding of it is that Brother Branham said that a shout is a message. If somebody comes here and says, "Hey!" They got something they won't tell you. But it's reversed in their minds that the message is the shout. Now, I know that Brother Branham, when he says it, that's the way it comes across to people. But let's look at all the other things he says about it. Because if he says that, and then they have to see it that way, because the Lord himself, and to them, Brother Branham was the Lord. And Brother Branham says, if you substitute him for Jesus Christ, you make him Antichrist.
Amen.
So let's keep our balance here somewhere. And here I am again. Brother Branham made the statement, Brother Perry, someday the dead in Christ will rise and will be with us for a minimum of 30 days. Why did he say it? Is there something now that in this controversial situation I'm in that we need to look at it? Because I'm going to tell you something. Folks, I think we should be looking for our loved ones. Because what I gave you last Sunday, Brother Branham said, when you begin to see your loved ones, and you see them standing there, and you see the character they've got, and no frustration, and you see the attitude they've got, and the love of God in their hearts, he said, then you can be sure that it's taking place. Right now, we see this sign, we hear this, and understand this revelation, and there's always this doubt of it. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, something's going to happen to us when we begin to see our parents,
Amen.
Our grandparents,
Amen.
Our loved ones.
Amen.
And then those that are looking for Brother Branham in a tent, maybe they'll get their wish.
Amen.
I have no objections to that. I believe the tent vision. I just don't agree with everybody's interpretation of it. Because I don't think anybody has the interpretation. And the reason that is because August of 1965, sitting in the Holiday Inn restaurant in Clarksville, Indiana, Brother Branham, just with no introduction to it at all, makes this statement to me. Brother Green, I don't know what my tent vision means. Well, now, I don't know if he said that to anybody else either, but here I am again. I will not deny what he said to me.
Amen.
And I believe there's a reason for it.
Amen.
In the midst of all the things that said today, I looked at him and I said, Brother Branham, you've talked to this brother. He said, oh, I knew I've talked to a brother about driving trucks and he won the latrines and so forth. But he said, I don't know what my tent vision means. He said, but I believe the same God that gave me the vision, when the time comes, he'll show me what everybody's supposed to do. And he said, Brother Green, that could be you on the platform. Well, I didn't know about the tent vision to know what the man on the platform was. Well, when I find out later there was an older man, he comes and said, Brother Branham's resting, and while he's resting, let's do this. Well, I always just automatically said, well, that's somebody like Brother Sidney Jackson or somebody like that. I don't have the interpretation of that. But the first time I ever told it publicly like I'm telling it right now, I was told by brothers, you're lying. Well, you know, I don't do that to anybody. Brother Branham said, I'd rather believe they misunderstood something.
Yes.
And I think we need to understand that, because there's too many things that backs it up where Brother Branham said, you will see your loved ones before you'll see the Lord.
Right.
Well, now how am I going to get around that and then come along and say that when the angels appeared at sunset, that was the rapture? That was the appearing of the Lord. That was the coming of the Lord. I can't make it fit. Now, if somebody wants to believe that, that's up to them. But for me, I can't say I believe that. Where the danger is I've often said this, that, you know, when the Lord was on the mountain and with the Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and Jesus said, truly Elijah shall first come. What if Peter, James, and John had come off of that mountain and declaring that they had been a part of Malachi 4? They saw Moses. They saw Elijah. Their hearts were changed. Well, then you and I would not be able to believe Malachi 4 now, because it's already passed. That's and some did believe that. But that's the problem we have today, that there's some that don't love one another enough that, no, sir, it's not the way I see it, it's not the way I believe it, and I won't have anything to do with you. Well, that person is not ready to be raptured. That person is going to have to see the dead in Christ to say, you know what? I was wrong. I need to take another look at this. There's going to have to be some infallible proof somewhere, like the scripture here said, infallible proof. Now, how many of you today, and you don't have to answer this question, but do you understand and can you believe that the dead in Christ will rise and be with us here on earth for a month or so?
Amen.
Now then, what are they going to do? Are they going to eat and drink and sleep? Don't say no. Because when Jesus, during that 40 days, one of the first things he did when he got back from Emmaus is he walked in there where Thomas was and said, feed me. And these who want to make that resurrection a spiritual resurrection, Brother Branham plainly says, spirits don't eat. But he walked in there and said, give me some bread, give me some fish. Here, feel me. Stick your hand right here. He was flesh and blood. He needed nourishment. And so when these dead in Christ come back, are they going to be different? Are they going to have a new body? One thing about it, we know they're not going to be old. We know they're not going to have hearing aids and artificial teeth. Brother Brown very plainly says there'll be nothing artificial there. If they've got an artificial arm or leg, they won't have it. It won't be resurrected.
Amen, Lord.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new body.
Amen.
And if they're not going to eat, then what's the marriage supper of the Lamb going to be? You mean we're just going to go sit down to empty plates? See, you haven't thought about it. But I want to challenge your thinking about it, because the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we need to believe it or we're not going to accept them. Brother Bram said there's going to be a lot of people going to see it and not believe it. How many people were there that saw Jesus risen from the dead and didn't accept it? The Bible says, and they did not believe. Thomas was one of those, heck, I'd do this. And when he did, he said, my Lord and my God. There's something marvelous about this. And let me talk about that word. I was in the restroom and Brother Steve walked in over there and somebody said, how you doing? He said, marvelous. I got to think about that. What does he mean by marvelous? And Brother Aaron comes up here this morning and uses the word four times. Marvelous. Come on, folks. How do you feel today?
Marvelous.
What does marvelous mean to you? Marvel means something. I shouldn't feel this way, but I do. Things shouldn't be this good, but they are. Come on. How many of you feel marvelous today?
Amen.
How many of you want to feel marvelous?
Amen.
It's just an adverb. It's outstanding, you know. The odds are against you. But, folks, it's a marvelous day. It's a day beyond comprehension. It's a feeling we don't understand. Thank you for that word this morning, Brother Steve. Marvelous. Somebody asked me now, Brother Green, how you feeling? I said, better. I'm going to say, marvelous. I shouldn't feel this way, but I do feel better.
Amen.
Can't you tell it? Can't you tell it?
Amen.
When I start running up down the aisles again, then you'll say, well, the old man's gone nuts again. But you know what? It's marvelous.
Amen.
How many of you looking for the dead in Christ?
Amen.
Now, is there something that we can see before we see those? I've already gone through this thing of the angels with you. And there's 9 places in the Gospels where Jesus told the parables about the angels that God will send, or they'll bring a trumpet, or with a great noise, or that will gather. He's going to send his angels. But now, if you don't believe in angels, and I'm sorry if you're one of those that don't believe in angels, but you'll never have a book of Acts repeated unless you believe in angels.
Amen.
Because if you take the book of Acts and you take the actions of the angels out of there, you don't have anything happening. I named it off to you last Sunday. You take Brother Branham's own life, and you take the ministry and the visitation of the angel out of there, and what do you have? At his birth, no pillar of fire. 7 years old, no voice in the tree. 1933 on the Ohio River, no pillar of fire. At the cave, no angel. At Sunset Mountain, no angels. What do you have? You have an evangelist. Somebody talks about things. But look at the commission. Now, why is it that we don't have angels in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches? There's 1,067 quotes about them in Brother Branham's message. Brother Branham gives us the answer. It's because we don't live a life where they're welcome. But how many scriptures and quotes would I have to read you where Brother Branham said, they're here today sitting by you in the pew.
Amen.
They were with you in the car this morning. They kept that car from hitting you. They were there when the food barrel was empty.
Amen.
You see, we don't recognize them. And Brother Branham, in this time of this 40 days that we're getting into this morning, the longest conversation that we have recorded in the scriptures is a 6-hour sermon to people on the road to Emmaus. Brother Branham said it took them 6 hours to get there, but it took them 20 minutes to get back. He describes how they got back. They hot-footed it. They touched the ground about every 3 or 4 yards. They were running like deer. They had news to tell the disciples back there. He is risen.
Amen.
We have seen him. But I got something to tell you. Jesus beat them back there. And by the time they got back, he had already eaten. Now that's Brother Branham's words. Can you imagine this? How are you going to figure this out in your mind if you don't believe what the scripture says? We talk about seeing the Lord. What about my mom and dad? What about Brother Makers for Sister Shirley? What about Brother Richard Wheat for his wife? We don't sing any songs about seeing our loved ones. Brother Elroy, are you listening today? Brother Branham even goes far enough away to say that, you know, our loved ones are only as far away from us as we put them.
Yes.
We start talking about them. remember them, meditating on them. Sometimes it feels like they're right there.
Right.
Brother Branham told me that one day, Brother Green, those in that dimension will take a half a step towards you. And you'll take a half a step toward them. And you'll be in a dimension that's more real than the one you stand in.
Amen.
This one's going to pass away. But that one won't pass away. But if you don't believe in angels, one could sit down right by you. Now, if you got a picture, well, it's halo and wings and things like that, you'll never see that. But I believe that every one of us at some time in our life has had an experience or an encounter with angelic beings.
Amen.
If you're a believer and a Christian, the odds are just that you've had that experience. Now, if you'll take and read those quotes, Brother Bram, say it could be in a neighbor. You thought it was just the grocery man. Brother Bram started naming off the characteristics you will see him with. He said somebody just come up and start being kind to you. He said that's the reason you should be kind to everybody. Well, now, if I knew he was a man of God, if I knew he was a no, if I know him and I've judged him and he believes just like I believe, and I'm going to be nice to him. Otherwise, I ain't going to have nothing to do with him. You know, you might get a shock someday.
Yep.
Somebody might suddenly rip his robe off and say, look here at my wings. Turn the light on, you'll see my halo. Now, folks, what I'm talking to you about, I believe there's a reality to a dimension here.
Yes.
And there should be a purpose for it.
That's right.
Now, I've got two approaches to this morning. Besides this one, just whatever the Lord brings to my mind, is that I can take and I can read you the scriptures of every time the Bible mentions an appearance of the Lord. How many of you can remember any of them? The first time that he was seen was by the women at the grave, at the tomb. But you know, there's a scripture that talks about Peter being there too. And he didn't believe. Brother Brown refers to that one and says Peter was there and he went back and told the others. And they believed Peter, but they sure didn't believe them women.
Amen.
Now, sisters, I've often said that dear lady, Mary Magdalene, had the toughest job in the Bible. Go try to convince 10 preachers that the Lord had fulfilled Scripture and he had risen from the dead. Now, why was Mary Magdalene one of the first to see him? She didn't expect him to raise from the dead. She was looking for somebody to roll away the stone. She took incense to mummify the body, to administer to his flesh, which her and all the others believed was dead. So it wasn't her faith that brought it back, but it was just something that in the sovereignty of God, Mary Magdalene loved the Lord, and when she was there, woman, she thought he was a gardener.
Yeah.
Where have you laid him? Where have you put him? And then he gave her a job. Go tell my disciples.
Yes.
Go tell Peter. And can't you see that happening? First of all, you couldn't even get one of us guys to answer the phone for you. You come to our house, we probably, well, it's her again. Oh, that's that woman, you know, had all them affairs. That's not the way Jesus looked at her.
Amen.
I think it should make us all ashamed of ourselves for our attitude towards somebody who's experienced the grace of Almighty God in their life.
Amen.
How many times was he seen on the first day? But as I said, the longest experience that we have record of in the Bible is when Leopas and his brother Branham said his friend, which we've got the pictures about, the two on the road to Emmaus and the famous paintings. But I want to tell you that all the ancient manuscripts have this Cleopas and his wife, Mary. And she, according to the scriptures, was one of those that was at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was also a sister of the Virgin Mary. And here is, you might say, an uncle and an aunt that they had seen the crucifixion, they had witnessed the burial, and they said, well, we might as well go home. And they started to Emmaus. And Brother Bram said, just walking along, slow of heart, and I challenge you to get your computer and look it up, and maybe I'll give you a list of all the times that Brother Branham mentioned their condition. Mentally, they were discouraged. And he says, them not even expecting it, but they were talking about him, he stepped out of the bushes. What are you two talking about? Well, we've been in Jerusalem, and this one that we thought to be the prophet, the Messiah. And he said, oh, you slow of heart. And then he did what? He went back to the scriptures.
Amen.
And he started with the prophets. Since they had called that one in Jerusalem and had been crucified a prophet, Brother Bram said he started talking about the prophet and expounded to them, beginning with Moses, one like unto myself and all the scriptures. And I tell you, if you're spiritual, you'll get a lesson out of that. What are these going to talk about during the 40 days they're here? The same kind of things that those talked about with him. They're going to go back and say, well, now the scripture said this had happened. And the scripture, and you see, you saw this happen, you saw this happen. And they're going to need to be persuaded. You're not just going to pop up and say, look, I'm back. See, I told you, Brother Green told you I was coming. See, I'm here. Well, now, I didn't understand it that way. But there were 500 that did believe it and followed him out to the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
But 10 days later, there's only 120 of them in the upper room.
Yes, right.
It's just like last Sunday, I shared some of these things with you, and I told you, I said, well, now tonight, the Lord willing, I'd like to read to you from the book of Nicodemus. Somebody said, well, I never heard that. That's not in the Bible. Well, Nicodemus was a man in the Bible. And do you really believe that this is everything Jesus did? This book right here, I can show you 13 places where it said, read this book and read that book. And if I had the book that Paul wrote to that other church, I'd want to read it.
Amen.
All of the letters of Paul are not in here. Now, the ones that are necessary to make salvation, I believe they're in here. But Brother Branham read a letter from Mary and preached a sermon entitled, Mary's Belief. You can't convince me that men like Pilate and Nicodemus and Gamaliel and men like that that were in Jerusalem at that time, even the high priest who knew Mary as a young girl, knew Joseph Arimathea, you can't convince me that those people didn't have some curiosity when somebody come told them that Jesus' body was missing. And one thing about in the book of Nicodemus that I've already read you people is that Simeon, in the Bible, he had two sons, and they had died. And in the book of Nicodemus, it talks about those two tombs being empty after the resurrection of Jesus. And they find these boys, these sons of Simeon, up in northern Israel, and they as a committee go up there and say, what happened? And that's what I was reading you, what these two had said that they experienced. Where? In that place where they waited. Now you see, we have it in our minds about hell and Hades and heaven and all this. But you see, I don't think any of us fully understand that when the Bible talks about the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Was he in the place of torment? Just send Lazarus to do it. But where was Lazarus? Where was it Jesus went down there and kicked the door open and set the captives free like David prophesied?
Amen.
Where was David and Moses and well, maybe not Moses because he appeared on the mountain, but all those other prophets and everything else. Where was Adam? Where was Cain? Where was Abel? They were in a dimension. Where was Abraham? We know that he arose in Matthew 27. Now, we believe that because Brother Branham said so. But this same Bible says in John that if all the things that Jesus said and did were written, the books would not contain them.
Amen.
Well, it couldn't even write about the love of God, so the songwriter said. Drain the ocean dry and every man a scribe by trade and the sky was scroll. We wouldn't be able to write it all by just one attribute of God. But do you think that all the things that Jesus said and did were here? What about the 6-hour conversation? Well, we can read it in 34 verses here, and I can read it in 20 minutes. But what about all the things that the people thought and said and did on the road to Emmaus? A 6-hour sermon, Brother Branham said. And then when they got back, well, they walk in there and say, listen, he is risen. We have seen him. And Peter has this to say, and Thomas has this to say, and Judas has this to say. Not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas. And Bartholomew, he has this. And don't you think they wrote anything? But we don't have it in our Bible. But you know what? The Rockefeller family had enough money that years ago, they started collecting these manuscripts. And now the Gates family has got enough money, they're translating them. And you and I, in this day, we have an opportunity to read them, that things that other people have not had an opportunity to read. And you people keep asking me, Brother Green, where you get all this? Well, just start reading. I may read 1,500 pages to get a couple of chapters there. But you know what? There's something about it when I read it, I said, that quickens to me. Don't we have the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our life?
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to trust Perry Green's leadership. That's what I'm telling you. Trust your own.
Yes.
But don't get set in your ways.
Amen.
This is everything that happened, period. Because, you know, we've all come to the place to where if we can find where Brother Branham said, we say, amen, amen, amen.
Right.
Even to a robin's breast being red because he tried to pull the nails out of the cross. People, you see, we're prejudiced and our mind's set like that, and we don't miss it. But the thing I'm trying to get you to say is that, folks, there's going to be a resurrection. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We're going to begin to see them. They're not going to float around like Ghost or Casper. You see, we've even changed that in our, right, whenever King James Version was done in the Bible, a spirit was like Casper. And so that's reading the King James Version, they put it Holy Ghost. But through time, ghost has become Casper, and spirit has become that which is holy. That's happened in not in our lifetime, but in the centuries that since the King James Version there. But so words play this with us. But to some, the Holy Spirit has become a third person of the Blessed Holy Trinity. But nobody can tell you what he looks like. No artist paints his picture. But it's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. That's reading Brother Branham said, pray to the God that's within you.
Yes.
We don't fully comprehend that, but the 40 days. What happened during that 40 days? I mentioned to you about Mary Magdalene and Peter. And there's about 5 places where the scripture talks about Peter seeing him and so forth. it's in the message, God keeps his word, that Brother Branham talks about Peter being at the grave. But out of everything Brother Branham had to say about that 40 days, the longest conversation is the road to Emmaus experience. He preached it in Jeffersonville when their eyes were opened. Another sermon is mentioned a number of times is Go Tell My Disciples. And then in Tulare and Beaumont and Tampa, it's Go When Their Eyes Were Opened. And I'm sure that you've heard a number of those. But now, how do we have these things happen? If right now, I don't believe that you can communicate with the dead in Christ. Brother Branham said that's spiritualism.
Amen.
But I do believe that right now, at this time, we can begin to have the angelic visitations.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if I've ever said this to where it impressed you enough for you to remember it, but I think I've mentioned it a number of times, but something I personally observed when I was with Brother Branham. Like, for example, if we had lunch, and I don't care where we were, if we were in a meeting or something, and it got to be 2 o'clock. The first time this happened, I remember we were in a restaurant, and it became 2 o'clock, and we were the restaurant was in the motel where we were staying. And Brother Branham just pushed his chair back and didn't even say goodbye, and just got up and left. Well, I reviewed, did I say something or was Brother Branham uncomfortable with this? But he left. But then I began to notice every day around 2 o'clock, Brother Branham got up and left us. And we never saw any more of him until the meeting. And that's when Billy went to his room and got him and bring him in there. But let's see if we can do something about this. I think I found a quote. Let's look at 1956, April the 5th, paragraph 22. While they were thinking on these things, a stranger walked out. That's when you want to get, when you go to thinking about him. That's when he appears. They were talking about him when he appeared, and that's the reason maybe he doesn't appear to so many of us. We talk too much about other things instead of about Jesus. Maybe we're talking about trading cars or something else, or the washing, or what kind of soap powder do you use, listening to the radio and some kind of nonsense. That's the reason he doesn't appear. If we just keep our minds on him, let the meditation of my heart, he told Joshua, he said, meditate on these things day and night. David said, I'll bind them on my bedpost. Sure, let them stay inside of you. And I want you to notice his words, inside of you. And think of them. Meditate upon them. And that's when he appears. Now listen to this. Do you ever notice how the angel of the Lord comes? Of an evening at 3 o'clock, when I go in, I close everything out. Don't let no one come in. And just sit there and read the word and yield myself until I know he's there.
Amen.
I can feel it when he's coming. He comes in and I know he's there. Oh my, that's the way you do.
Amen.
That's the way the disciples did. They were with one place and one accord in an upper room. And they were all up there praising him, and all of a sudden he came in. That's the way he does it. Now, when Brother Branham got and left us at 2 o'clock, where was he headed? He went to his room. This was what he practiced.
Amen.
Do you folks remember a few months ago I told you this something the Lord had put on my heart to do? How many of you know my little formula? I go to my office, and I don't just lock the door handle, I lock the deadlock. And when I do that, it's like saying, I want to be alone. And it's got to the place to where God is my witness. He never fails me.
Amen.
When I shut myself away, the presence of the Lord comes.
Amen.
And that's when I have begun to have these experiences.
Amen.
I cannot explain them to you. I cannot tell you what to do. I only can tell you what I share. And it's from this observation and personal practice that I can tell you that we need to meditate on the Lord.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Now, if you go and you seek something to come out and brag about or something like that, I'll question your experience. I won't question, but you won't get the anointing and the blessing out of it that you should get.
Right.
Most time, this is something for yourself.
Amen.
And I will tell you now that the last three visitations I've had, the discussion I've had, not even thinking about it, has been about 2012. There's just something there that I'm not understanding enough to tell you yet. But I don't believe that those 14 calendars that the world has, I don't believe they're just a coincidence.
Amen.
There is something in there for us to see. May God help me to see it if I'm supposed to see it. I'm in enough trouble already over this 40 days about the seventh seal. But I don't believe that the rapture is going to be a total secret to the bride.
Amen.
If it's going to be a total secret and we're not going to know anything about it, then why are we to watch and wait? If there's no watching and waiting benefit to it, we'll all just be surprised. Then why did He tell us to watch and wait?
Right. Yes.
If nothing else, we can get ourselves ready. We can search our own lives and see if there's something there we need to look at about it. I personally believe, and well, it's a fact, 1/3 of this book is prophecy. And if there's anything that proves that it's the Word of God, it's the prophecy in it. Any spirit, any power that can tell you the future, and it has the ability to bring it to pass and fulfill it, that deserves to be worshipped. The devil can't do that.
Amen.
The devil don't know the secrets of your heart.
Right.
Satan don't know what's going to happen to you. All of that's withheld from him until we tell him. Brother Bram said that people do that. God leads them to do something. They go tell everybody else. Well, God told me to do this. And they didn't know, but they didn't know it till you told them. The devil didn't know it till you told them.
Right.
Then men get involved in it. And people start trying to adjust it, manage it, and so forth. But what God tells you to do, just let him bring it to pass. It happens in your life. So, did Brother Branham have something here that he practiced? He said 3 o'clock. The observation I made was he left us about 2 o'clock every day. That's where I always noticed it. Let me just ask you this. Here's the proof. Try it. Set aside a time in your life that you're going to go aside. Now, what are you supposed to do during that time you set aside? It's very simple. Let him come inside.
Amen.
Now, I was very pleasantly surprised this week when I found 14 quotes where Brother Branham is talking about the people on the road to Emmaus, that he made the statements. Their secret was as they got him to come inside. Let's read a couple of them. Let's look at 1955, October the 4th, paragraph 67. After his resurrection, he proved that he was yet the same great Jehovah. On the road to Emmaus that day, as those fellows walked along there, Cleopas and his friends going down to Emmaus on that trip, when Jesus got inside the house with them, he done something there that all day long they had walked with him, They didn't know him, but when he got inside and got them settled down, then he did something that he used to do. No one else could do it like that. He did it the way he used to do it. I believe that's more than just a history. It's a parable. Pardon me, brother, but it's a prophecy. We've walked along today a long time, but it was in the evening time when he'd done things like he used to. And it's getting late in the day now. It's getting evening time. And Jesus has got us shut in here tonight. He can just do things like he used to do it. If he can find the material that'll let him shut in with him. Let's be reasonable because it's evening time and he's here. Let's speak to him in a moment of prayer. Let's read it. Let's go down, Chris, and get one in 61. 61, April the 26th, is it? Next to the last one. Or 21, maybe. Paragraph 26. Just want to spread them out here so you see that. Let's see that. Not a frolic dance as you'd seen a lot of the Pentecostals do. Not a morgue like you see a lot of the rest of them do. And the Pentecostals, it's about out of their frolic now. They're back to the morgue too. You don't introduce them to that, but to a living, resurrected Christ. That's what we're to. Then you have joy like the disciples when you meet him and you know. And when he performed the sign before them and showed them that he was the same Jesus, doing the same things that he did, no one else could do it but him. And they recognized that that was their Lord and they were happy. Well, Cleopas and them, it took them all day long to get over to Emmaus, a Sabbath day's journey. They wasn't but a few minutes getting back. Look at that. See, I told you a while ago, a hot foot and skipping a jump and every 3 yards. And all of those are in these statements. Oh, after they found out the truth that he was resurrected because they'd seen him keep his word and fulfill it and do exactly like he did before he was crucified. Oh, there it is. They hot-footed it across the country. Hot-footed. How many of you know how to run like that? Hot-footed. Must be a Kentucky way to run fast. I imagine they were just hitting every 4 or 5 yards. There it is right there. They were in a hurry. They wanted to tell the rest of them. Truly, the Lord is risen indeed. They had something in their heart. Let's read the next one. It's 1960. It's written, "You are the salt of the earth, and salt creates a thirst." God made the Christians on the ground and around the buildings. Whenever they are met together, may they be salty until the unbeliever will say, "Lord, let me be like that man or that woman." Grant it, Lord. Take us up into thy care. We are walking in a world of darkness, looking upward from whence cometh the light. Grant these things, Father, and may this be one of the greatest conventions that we've ever had. Bless every speaker, every minister, and every Christian, and all that attends the meetings. May it be a glorious time for us all. And when we are finished, service is closed, revival is over, or the convention, may it be said with all of us, like those who came from Emmaus, as we return to our homes. Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked us by the way? We ask it in Jesus' name, thy Son. Amen. I still haven't found one. Let's go to the last one. 1960, June the 6th, paragraph 7. Well, and go back one. Go back one. Or back two. I want to get one in the 60s, or 64 or 61 or something. That in 64. Now, I might say this. His voice will speak one day. A sign will come, and what will it do? The Laodicean sign may be the same as it was then. There'll be a voice speak to us in the last day, and remember, Laodicean sign, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he was put out of the church there in the Laodicean age, we find out he's put out again on the outside. Look, the voice, if any man will cooperate, if any man will let me in, I'll come in and sup with him and they with me. I'll come in and I'll be in them, standing on the outside of the rank of church age, knocking, trying to get in. If any man will open the door and just cooperate with me as a little bit, I'll come in and sup with him. I'll make myself known to him. If I can just get in like I did on the road to Emmaus, that night in Emmaus, if I can just get in, I'll make myself known to them. Now, the Bible said that's the way it would be, and that's the way it is. It's Christ. Sup, reveal myself to them. I will reveal that I am the same yesterday and forever. The Son of Man will be revealed in that day when all churchianity and everything will become Sodom. And like that, I'll be on the outside, but I'll be knocking trying to get in. It's important you let him in. He said once they had invited him in and Jesus had accepted the invitation, then he did things there that he didn't do on the outside. How many of you let him in today? Open my heart, O Lord. Let the Spirit of God come in. Open our eyes that we can see all the things that you've prophesied. In one of these days, the dead in Christ will rise and be with us for a minimum of 30 days.
Amen.
I tell you what, folks, it's going to be pretty hard to make a doubter out of you then. If you've heard things like this. Now, if you haven't heard it and you didn't know it, you'd say, well, I don't know about this guy. I don't know whether he's supposed to be here or not. But I'm going to tell you what. Expect angels. They are to come gather us.
Yes.
Expect the dead in Christ. What's the attributes? Maybe we'll go over that next Sunday. What do you look for? Brother Bram said, somebody comes and start being kind to you. That's not very difficult. You expect somebody to come and say, yea, I say unto thee. Brother Bram, one of these, he starts singing, fill my way every day with love. Lord, let us love one another.
Amen.
Let us look up and see your presence and your glory. The joy of the Lord is in our heart. Open your eyes. Could we have some musicians? Remember the Lord's Supper tonight and foot washing with one another. Let's stand together. I love him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and on Calvary's tree. And again, yes, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. God is so good. God is so good. God. I love him so. Remember, look for the angels and begin to look for the dead in Christ. One of these days, the dead in Christ will rise first and will make themselves known to you. And then you'll know that it's really happening. And you'll be changed. I know some that feel they've been changed because of the revelation in their heart. But, you know, I think there'll be perfect love with that too. You going to be changed?
Amen.
Let's give our hearts to him. When their eyes were opened in Beaumont, notice though they could not believe there was something in them. They invited him to come in. He acted like he was going on by. He might act like that to you tonight. He might act like he's going to pass you by. Maybe your prayer card won't be called. But remember, maybe just giving you a test. He's just as much God out there as he is up here. He proves that day after day, night after night. He's God everywhere. He's omnipotent. And remember, he makes out like he's going to pass by. And they constrained him. They didn't understand what he was talking about. But yet their minds, they didn't know what to believe. No, they're just a many a person like that today. There's a many person like that in Beaumont tonight. They don't know what to believe. But do you know what they did? They did the wisest thing that any man can do. They invited him in.
Amen.
It's then and then only can he reveal himself when he's invited to come in. Remember, welcome him in. Say, Lord Jesus, I know the scripture says that I might not understand it, but come into my heart now. I want to accept you. I want to believe you. Then manifest yourself in me. Notice they invited him in. They couldn't explain it. It's like they didn't understand what he was talking about. It was all mixed up in them. They couldn't understand it, but yet they said, they constrained him. You must come in. He said, no, I got to be going on. But Lord, you must come in. You must come in. And constrained him until, called upon him and until he had to go in. That's the way you do. And then when he gets inside, that's when he can reveal himself.
Yes.
He can make himself known when inside. Notice how he did it after his resurrection, the true promised word. They did not realize who he was, but once inside of them, then he opened their eyes. That way, when he got inside the building with them there, he opened their eyes. After he got inside, he opened their eyes. What? But not just took his hand and said, open, let your eyes come open. Their eyes were open anyhow, physically. Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed to the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. 5 o'clock. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, amen. Thank you.
Amen.